Hello, friends, and welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and encouragement you need. Thanks for bringing us along. And now, your host, Lynette Ezell.
Hey, everyone, welcome back. You know, unfortunately, COVID-19 has, in some way, touched all of our lives. We're all learning new ways of conducting our new normal, our new routines, changing our schedules and the way we do life. But I don't know if you've thought about this, but the same is true for your local Department of Family and Children's Services. And many of our foster agencies and adoption agencies have had to change the ways that we do things, that we've had to alter our programs. This virus is having a huge impact on the foster care system. And so I wanted a little help today to talk about this issue with foster care and placements in the midst of COVID-19. And I found two new friends I'm excited to introduce to you today. So welcome, Sherry and Kimberly.
Hi, thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, so glad you're here. So Sherry Williams, you currently serve as in the role of Vice President of Domestic Operations for Bethany Christian Services. And like me, you are passionate about finding homes for foster children within the church. But yes, you're also a mom of three, and you are with the Child Welfare Service for over 20 years. That's incredible.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, wow. And then Kimberly Offit, she serves as the National Foster Care Adoption Director for Bethany. She has also worked in the child welfare field for over 20 years. And Kimberly, you are a foster and adoptive mom, 7 children.
Yes.
And we share this in common. We both have 6 grandchildren.
Awesome. And it's so fun.
It is. They're the best, I tell you. And I'm just so grateful to have Sherry and Kim with me today to just bring, goodness, you all bring in over 40 years. I don't want to make you sound old. I know you started right out of college, right out of high school, but just so grateful to have you with us today and to just help us understand what is going on in the foster and adoptive community in the midst of COVID-19.
Yeah, that's a great question. And so, as you said, Lynette, you know, COVID-19 has really changed our world in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And the same is true in the foster care system. And so these children who, by no fault of their own, do have to come into foster care, you know, they're already vulnerable, but they have gotten even more vulnerable during this time. And so we've just seen lots of impacts, such as some children were preparing to be reunified with their family and were right on the cusp of going home. And then this pandemic hit, and some of their parents have lost their jobs and have now lost their housing.
Oh, wow.
And these families who were just ready to be reunified, these children are just heartbroken that they are no longer able to be reunified with their families. Similarly, there are lots of kids in our community who have parents who have been essential workers and who have needed to work, and childcare options have just been so limited for all of us. And some parents have been in just dire situations of deciding whether they need to go to work so that they could survive their family and survive and feed their family and keep a roof over their head, or whether, you know, and maybe leave their children home alone versus, you know, having somewhere safe for them to go. So there's just a lot of complex dynamics that are really affecting not only our kids in foster care, but kids in our community who are vulnerable to potentially entering foster care.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And before COVID hit the U.S., we already didn't have enough foster families. Like we were talking about this before we started recording. I spend the majority of my time raising awareness among the church. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, before this even hit, we already were shorthanded.
Yes. Yeah. Kim, did you want to say something?
No, I was just going to chime in and say, also the other trend that we're seeing is when you think about COVID and you think about the impact that it has had on us mentally and emotionally, the stress level,
right.
we're seeing an increase in abuse of children as well. Kids being, like Sherry said, left alone, parents being stressed out, they're losing their jobs, the likelihood of physical abuse increasing, and parents with limited parenting skills, you know, they're all just stretched to their limit. So you're seeing this trend and this, this potential increase of kids entering foster care, which is, again, hard as well.
Yeah, because with that added stress and anxiety within the family, maybe a family that's already struggling, and then you mm-hmm. add to it maybe increased drug and alcohol use, abuse mm-hmm. is going to be on the rise.
It is. It is, Lynette. And, you know, a lot, because many schools across the nation mm-hmm. ended early
right.
To help contain the pandemic, kids just aren't what we call visible in the community as mm-hmm. they usually are. And so a large number of reports that are made of possible abuse that are made to the local Department of Family and Children, you know, a lot of those people who usually see the kids, have eyes on the kids, have trusting relationships with these kids, just aren't seeing those kids mm-hmm. and aren't able to report those concerns to be properly, you know, looked into to ensure those kids are safe. So especially once school does go back in session, whenever that may be,
right?
you know, we definitely anticipate a spike in the number of kids who are entering foster care at that time, once these trusted adults are hearing the stories of what kids have experienced during this really unprecedented time. And so the need for foster and adoptive parents, as you said, it was already in a place of desperation before right. the pandemic, and we are going to need even more families to step up. Families from the church, families that are motivated deeply by our faith to really step up and step into this space on behalf of vulnerable kids.
Man, I couldn't agree more. I'm a trainer also here in my state. And so let me just hear from you. I know what our state's kind of seeing, but Kim, kind of give me some input here about foster care family recruitment. Are you seeing it struggle a bit? What's Bethany doing to address that disruption?
Well, you know, I like to look for what I call COVID wins. That's what's kept me mentally sane. It's those COVID wins. And I think one of the wins that we've found as an organization is that it's pushed us into a place of innovation. You know, the things that we literally cannot do our jobs the way that we've done them before.
Wow, that's a great point.
Can't be face-to-face.
Right.
You know, we can't have those in-person meetings. We can't, you know, see and touch everybody. So we've literally had to pivot. We're doing more virtual visits, virtual events, virtual trainings, utilizing social media more, which has allowed us to really broaden our opportunity for reaching more people, because they're all reaching us and connecting with us online mm-hmm. Via webinars and different things like that, which is great. We've been able to utilize our partnerships with celebrity influencers through social media and everything else, you know, to be able to share the word and the passion for this work that we're doing, and the need for kids who are currently in foster care and may even be at risk of aging out of foster care and needing adoptive homes, but also the children who need families now, we need more foster families. So we've been pivoting. We've been utilizing these resources to do this work. We've also pivoted in our support groups because, again, our families can't meet face-to-face
right.
to really have that support of each other. And, you know, being able to retain our foster parents is just as important as it is to recruit new families as well. So we've been doing virtual support groups as well, which has been powerful for our families, especially during COVID-19, where they need a place to vent, they need a place to learn, they need a place to pray and encourage each other, which has just been incredible too.
Well, that's a great point, because even in my local church and my home church, I help and volunteer in the foster community. We're just ensuring that we get things to their door, an eat out, you know, a card to eat out, order food, you know, to just give them a break, to get new clothing to the door. You know, as placements are being made, to say, let us help you. You know, the possibility of taking a big crew to Target, it's hard right now. And so, you know, just the need for that community of care and for the body of Christ, like Paul told the church in Titus, be ready to meet urgent needs. And we are there. We are where the early church was. Mm-hmm. Even in the midst of their poverty and their persecution and their struggling, Paul told the church, step in, be ready. And it couldn't be more crucial than right now.
Yes, preach.
Well, so for any family who may be, and either one of you all jump in on this one, I just love hearing your wisdom on all this. But for any listeners, any of our families that are maybe the Lord's stirring in their heart about starting or restarting foster care right now, reopening their home, or just for the first time stepping in, what would you tell them? How would you encourage them?
Well, I have a one-liner that I'm always offering families as just a point of thought and prayer. But I definitely want to say this. Families have thought about, they've prayed about, they've considered fostering for years. I've talked to so many families over the last 20-something years, and they're all saying, you know, I really feel like God has really been leading me in this time, in this area. I just need to know when do I take this next step? Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that I'm always saying, if not you, who?
Right.
And if not now, when?
Yes.
So many kids need you now. So let's take that next step. Let's reach out to the organizations. Let's get involved. Right now, we need you.
It is crucial right now. It absolutely is.
Yes. And if I can just add, Lynette, you know, a lot of us are, as you already said, our lives have changed. Yeah. Our priorities have changed. Our very packed calendars are now much more clear for many of us. And so, you know, how might God be orchestrating just our availability during this season?
That's a great point.
Yes. And so, as Kim mentioned, the fact that at Bethany and many other places, the fact that we can do virtual orientations and virtual information meetings and things like this, it's actually never been as convenient as it is now.
Right.
To take that next step, to just explore. All you've got to do is just sign up for an online information meeting. You can sit in the comfort of your own home. You don't have to hire a babysitter for any other children you have at home. And you can really just take that next step. And as Kim said, the Holy Spirit has already been at work and has already prompted so many believers around this nation on behalf of vulnerable kids. And there's just never been an easier time to take that next step.
You know, Sherry, I totally agree with that. I lead trainings, and we've been having to do them online. And, you know, I'm a people person. Like, if I'm kind of tired or sluggish one day, put me with somebody, and I will get my second wind, you know. And so I've really missed that that one-on-one, getting to know the couples and, you know, walk them through placements and just being there for them, hearing their stories. But also doing the virtual trainings, like you're talking about, the first step, the information meeting, everyone that if you feel the Lord just tugging at your heart about this, or just try the meeting. You don't have anything to lose. But getting to know them, see them in their homes, and their dog jumps up in their lap, or their children call from the bathroom, or that sort of thing, you know, getting to see their little kids run, it's really a beautiful thing. And it is different, and it is a change. But like you said, both of you had, I have just reiterated, it is a perfect time. The Lord has cleared our schedules. It's a perfect time to just jump in and learn and see where you fit in this calling. Where do you fit within the body of Christ to help meet a need? If maybe it's not to full-time foster, maybe it's to be part of the wraparound care. Maybe it, you know, who knows? There's so many levels of service in this calling, but everyone is needed. Do you agree?
Yes. Oh,
absolutely. I love how you mentioned wraparound care, because that is when I imagined the body of Christ.
Yes.
And I shared initially as a recruiter and partner with churches. We talked about James 1:27,
mm-hmm.
you know, religion that our Father, God, our Father says is pure and faultless, mm-hmm. is to care for the orphan. So when I think about that, I can literally hear God saying, you know, all that other stuff that we're doing is really cute. It's great. It's good. But this is what is pure,
yeah.
and faultless, to care for the orphan. And yes, all of us aren't necessarily call to be foster parents and adoptive parents, but God has gifted each and every one of us with something, some tool, some resource, something to be involved in this. He's called us to be literally Jesus's hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when I imagine the family, if you can just imagine, there's over 400,000 kids that are in foster care currently across the United States. 100,000 of them are actually available for adoption. But how many churches are there? If the church literally raised up one family,
right?
One, just one. And it can imagine that. Imagine that one family in that church and your entire church congregation surrounds around you and provides that support to that one family. Someone bringing meals, someone providing mentorship, someone coming to cut your grass,
yeah.
or something, someone coming to hold a baby just so you can go take a shower.
Yes.
You know, just providing that support to that family so they can be successful and so the children can be successful as well. That's what we're called to do, literally, to be Jesus's hands and feet to these children and to these families.
Right. And if maybe you're in a church, that's absolutely, I agree with all of that. I just know that the Lord is working in so many homes right now. And listen, we're just going to be praying for you. If you need help, reach out to us here at the podcast, reach out to Bethany, reach out to your local agency. We can help you just take that first step. It seems like when you take that first step, fear just dissolves, I think. And sometimes we talk about this on the podcast a lot. You just got to take that first step afraid. Sometimes the Lord just asks us to do it scared.
Yep.
Yep. When you said that, I imagine Peter stepping out of the boat.
Yes.
You know, like when I've heard pastors preach about Peter stepping out of the boat, like the wind and the waves,
right.
and all that stuff was going on. And Peter's eyes were set on Jesus. I mean, and he, because his eyes was on Jesus, his eyes was on that call. He stepped out of the boat. And guess what? The wind and the waves were still going.
Yep.
I mean, they were going this entire time. It was when he took his eyes off of Jesus that he noticed it. So I'm just thinking back, and as I think about this as families, we just need to keep our eyes on him.
Right.
We need to stay focused on him and what he's called us to do, regardless of COVID-19, regardless of the loss of jobs, regardless of everything that's going on around us, trusting and knowing that he has us. That he's going to keep us, that he's going to shelter us, he's going to protect us, and he's going to protect our kids. And he's been a part of this before the creation of the earth. This
Amen.
Is what he's called you to do.
Right.
And anything that he calls you to do, he's going to equip you to do.
That's right.
That's just my heart, and that's what I love to share with families as well.
Yeah, and I love to share two things, too. I'd like to add to the conversation. One is, maybe there's not a foster ministry in your church. Maybe your church has not stepped in this at all. You're probably the one if God's moving in your heart. It's not just about you taking in a child. It's more than likely about the Lord using you to begin a ministry within your church to raise the awareness, to teach them how to love the vulnerable, to teach them how to put others' needs before themselves. Sometimes people just need a kind voice and someone that puts legs on their faith and will step into it. And then people will jump into they see that child in the hallways at church. People will jump in. I've seen it happen time and time again. And so don't think that one person can't make a change. You absolutely can.
Absolutely.
And you know, another thing I was thinking about too, we really want to be we want to be so cautious in this situation. We want to be so available with our hands open before the Lord, because they're going to be nonverbal or children with disabilities who will be at even a greater risk. And we don't want children to be, I hate to say, fall through the cracks, because that's on us, right? And we don't want that to happen to the most vulnerable among us.
Yes, that is a great point. And so we all play a role in keeping the children in our community safe. And whether that is, you know, something you see or experience that just gives you that little check in your spirit, and you just wonder if that child or if that family's okay. And then just being really mindful, what might you need to do about that? You know, do you need to check on that family? Do you have a relationship with that family? Are there some resources you can personally provide with that family, you know, or is this something that concerns you to the level that you do need to, you know, report your concerns? We all play a role in keeping children and families in our community safe. And I'll tell you, Lynette, in my 20 years in child welfare, I have seen families, when something has gone horribly wrong with a child and a family saw something, but they just didn't speak up, I have sat with families as they have wept, wishing that they would have stepped up and done something on behalf of this child before it was too late. I always want to encourage us, especially as believers, the Lord gives us that check in our spirit for a reason. And then we have to just prayerfully discern through, okay, what do I do with this, Lord? Is this something I just need to offer myself to a family, to just, maybe they just need a little help and that's it. And I'm called to step into that. Or maybe this is a more complex situation and I do need to report my concerns to the appropriate place. But please, I just implore everyone listening, please do not disregard when you get that check in your spirit. Trust that.
Yes, Sherry.
And trust the Lord in that.
Yeah, that is so true. One of our children came home and just said, Mom, I've got a friend that's struggling. And the mom just lost work. It was before COVID hit. She just needed help with rent for a couple months to keep the family together. That's so worth it. You know, that's a win for everyone because, you know, the resources, they came together. And just because my daughter just happened to say, Mom, I know they just need a little help. The children were going to have to go in social services, but they had a loving mother. And she just needed a little help. So, man, that's a great reminder, Sherry. Thank you for that. Well, I also know that Bethany Christian Services has pregnancy counselors on staff. And so I'm wondering, are you finding that more women are seeking abortion or adoption because of the uncertainty of this pandemic? I know that's a big question. That's a big ask. But can you shed some light on this for us?
Yeah, well, you know, at Bethany, our pregnancy counseling services are so close to our heart. We have been involved in providing life-affirming options and services for women across the nation for many, many years. And so it's interesting. We're actually seeing a couple different trends with this population, with women who are experiencing unexpected pregnancies. And so some of them are, you know, coming to us in a place of desperation and feeling like abortion is their only option. And of course, we always want to link up with our amazing community partners and the pregnancy resource centers in our community and make sure we're linking those women with those amazing resources and amazing volunteers. And then we always just want to come alongside those women and have them take a deep breath and say, please make sure you're getting educated about these options before you feel like you only have one option to consider. And we know it is usually only about 3% of women in an unexpected pregnancy who will actually consider adoption. And we always want to, again, use that pause to say, well, what do you know about adoption? Do you know how adoption has changed over the years? Do you realize you're not, quote unquote, giving up your baby necessarily, that you could potentially have some degree of relationship with your child as you move forward after you place for adoption? And so we're seeing two things. We're definitely seeing some women who are feeling like abortion is their only option and wanting to rush into that. And we're trying to equip them, you know, and wrap them in supportive resources. But then we're also seeing some women who, because of COVID and because of what's happening economically right now, who just cannot imagine, you know, having another mouth to feed.
Yeah.
A lot of our women who come to us are already parenting. They're usually in their 20s or 30s and are already parenting a couple of children. Most often, the father or fathers are not involved and they cannot imagine doing it again.
Wow.
And so they are coming to us, you know, desperately wanting the place for adoption. So we're kind of seeing both of those trends. But of course, our heart is just to come alongside these women
yes.
and make sure they are educated and supported and cared for. And if something as tangible as you mentioned, Lynette, of 2 months' rent is what's standing in their way between having an abortion or choosing to parent or choosing adoption, then we will help you with the 2 months rent.
We will do it. That's
you know?
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. It's so worth it. It is so worth it. And I remember when years ago I was in Southern Illinois, my husband was pastor in a church there. It was just a great area. We were close to a college there. And so I was working in a crisis pregnancy center, just counseling mm-hmm. with young girls. I just loved it. But I remember encouraging them, by the time they got to me, you know, they already had 2 months behind them usually, you know, and if I noticed that if I could stay involved in their life, if they knew they were supported, mm-hmm. we could make it the other 7 months. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just needed someone to come alongside them and say, look, I really care about you and I care about your child, but I really care about you as a person and you are valuable. And I really, because, you know, an abortion is forever.
Mm-hmm.
And pregnancy is so temporary, but sometimes mm-hmm. I know it can seem, insurmountable when you mm-hmm. get in those struggling times. So, that's just a beautiful part of the ministry of Bethany. Kim, are you able to have like a relationship, keep a relationship with these ladies when they decide they've got other children at home? What kind of support are you able to give them if they do decide to give birth to their children and choose adoption?
So yeah, we are all about caring for women and families holistically. And when I say holistically, I mean physically, mentally, spiritually. We want to make sure that whatever these women in an unexpected pregnancy are facing, we want to help equip them to not just survive during what they perceive as a crisis time, but to really thrive in their families. And so we have so many services available. We have our pregnancy counselors who are available to walk alongside and advocate for these women. As I mentioned, we connect with our local pregnancy resource centers and all of the amazing services and care that our pregnancy resource centers offer in the community. And then we just offer lots of tangible supports too. So whether that is assisting with their rent payments, helping them get groceries, we really help them tap into lots of community services and services within the church to help keep them stable. Because we, first and foremost, we want to keep families together.
Absolutely.
Whenever it is safe and possible to do so. We believe that family is God's original design for human thriving. And so we want to keep families together when at all possible to do so. So we are committed to coming alongside these women and giving them whatever they need to keep their families together. And then for those women who do choose adoption for their babies, we will make sure they continue to get supportive services through our community partners and through local churches and through those pregnancy resource centers so that they can continue to thrive for them and their families.
Oh, that is incredible. And it's, you know, here comes that theme again of wraparound care and the need for community. The Lord made us. He built our souls needing community. He knew what he was doing and we all need that. Hey, Kim, as we end this and as we kind of finish this conversation, you two have taught us so much today, but as kids get back to school, what do you see happening in our foster community?
As kids come back to school, we talked about a little bit earlier, the concern that we may find social workers and teachers and other folks will have their eyes on our children a little bit more, of course, than they did through COVID and through the summer and everything else. So we may see that increase in reports, allegations of abuse or neglect. And we will definitely, through that increase of reports, see more children entering foster care. So we definitely want to have a pool of foster families waiting to be open to taking children into care temporarily. Now, the goal of foster care is always reunification. Our goal is to keep families together or return those children to their biological families, provide the supports like we were talking about earlier. But we definitely anticipate an increase in those numbers.
I just really know, Lynette, that some of your listeners have really thought about this in their head for a long time of what can they personally do to make a difference. And I love the story of the starfish who, you know, millions of starfish washed up on the beach. And, you know, there was a man walking and he would just pick one up and he would throw it back and he would take a few more steps and pick one up and throw it back into the ocean. And, you know, the story goes that someone came up and said, gosh, you know, there's all these millions of starfish, you know, why are you just, you know, picking one up here and there and throwing it back? And he said, well, you know, I'm making a difference in the life of this one.
That's right.
And so for those people where, you know, hearing 400,000 children in foster care across the United States and 100,000 of those kids being available for adoption and needing homes, it can feel so overwhelming. But what might God be calling you to do for just one? Just one of those kids or just one of those families in your community that is in need. Never underestimate the power that God has in you to make a difference in someone's life today.
Wow, Sherry, Kim, thank you so much for coming today, for sharing with us just the reality of what's going on with COVID and vulnerable children in our states, our, you know, our country, but, you know, let's get real, in our own backyard. And so we are so grateful for you, and we will provide additional information. But ladies, can I just tell you something I'm really excited about? Just talking with you today, I may never get to meet you this side of eternity, but we will for sure be sharing stories when we're with King Jesus. And so I am so grateful to get to speak with you today, get to know you, and to hear the work you're doing. I just love children, and I want to see all children have a home and to know Jesus and, you know, to be their homes to be restored. And so I'm so grateful for women like you who have answered the call and have given your life for the most vulnerable among us, for those hurting among us. Thank you, ladies.
This has been the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast, a ministry of Send Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can find more and subscribe at sendrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us part of your journey.